Welcome to part four of the MVC storefront. This is a real-world application building exercise where I'm building out an e-commerce site on top of ASP.NET MVC and learning TDD along the way. My name is Rob Connery. I work for Microsoft. My email is robcon@microsoft.com. Email me with any questions or leave a comment on this blog. The first thing I want to say is your feedback is absolutely critical. Please keep it coming. It's what's driving this whole process. This last week at the MVP Summit, I had the chance to sit and talk with a lot of you and listen to the things and concerns you had to say, and it's guided many of the decisions that we're making with the MVC Storefront series, so please keep it coming. Kind of to underscore that point, I want to talk about a tangent here, which is I read a blog post by Chad Myers today, which basically asked to see Phil and myself step outside of the mothership, which basically means do things differently, come and talk to the community, see what we're doing, what we're all about. And left Chad a comment, and I don't know if he was aware. He may or may not have been, but that's what this is all about. This is all about being transparent and doing something different and building something in front of everyone else, taking risks, taking chances, and failing and learning from those mistakes. So I want to make sure I get that point across immediately. Well, one of the major points of feedback I've got is that people love and hate TDD simultaneously. It's a painful process as viewed by some, but on the other hand, it's also a really inspirational and really great learning process. One of the core things I'm learning is challenging my assumptions. Don't ever assume that the code I'm writing is ever going to be needed unless I test it first. That's very valuable. Point of feedback I had was a question whether I'm just appeasing the TDD purists out there and taking TDD a little bit too far. Indeed, you can take anything too far, and I think what I'm trying to do at this point is make sure that I pay attention to the core concepts. One of the interesting conversations I had at the MVP Summit was, does a TDD purist really exist? Because if you ask any of the hardcore TDD guys out there, what about, you know, this or that, if you have a question, they usually always say, well, a purist would do this. However, what I do is this. And I found that interesting. And I said, well, when do you decide to break the rules? And we had a great laugh over that. And one of the main people there said, well, you know, you really shouldn't be breaking any rules. You don't know when that's okay. And one of the big, big senior .NET guys in the community looked at him over the table and he said, my 20 years of computer science experience tells me when it's okay to write code first. I think I know the difference. And we all had a good laugh about it. The idea here, just to encapsulate this, is that as you learn the concepts, you can cheat as you want to, but it's really important to pay attention to the concepts first and don't assume. Okay, the next bit of feedback I had was all about the database. People are looking at what we're doing with our test repository, and you know, they're thinking, what about your database? Are you sure some of this stuff is going to work? Are you using iQueryable? Lots of questions surrounding the queries, etc. So what I wanted to do today is I wanted to challenge my assumptions. I'm going to do what's called a spike, and that is to break from the normal TDD pattern and to go ahead and prototype and kind of build inspirationally. Finally, people have said, enough with the slow plotting tests, and let's kick it into high gear. I understand what you're doing, and I hear you, and that's what I'm going to be doing. So right straight off, I'm going to jump straight into the code, and here we go. There's a lot I want to cover in looking at the code today. So in an effort to speed things up, what I did is I just plunged ahead and I started writing tests. I wrote out the product reviews, and I also wrote out a localized description because I need to have these things for the demo that I'm going to do for my client coming right up. This is our first iteration. So I quickly did all that, and you can see I have an additional 9 tests here. Product description. Basically, I have a constructor test to validate what I want to see with the product description. And I also make sure the repository can return it. And I can also do some filtering and so on. I'm going to talk more about this later, because right now what I want to talk about is specifically my spike. The thing that I was starting to see coming up, and in a TDD way, I decided to address it only when I needed to. So specifically, the thing I needed to look at was the data access pattern. And what I'm going to do to return iQueryable data out of my database. Here is my latest model. As you can see, I've added a couple classes here to support the first iteration of requirements. One of the things that is paramount here as we do our sort of agile design is to make sure that we constantly get feedback and review of the code. Now, over the last week at the MVP Summit, I sat with a lot of manager types, alt.net types, and others, and discussed the whole idea here of what's up next for me, which is data access, and running what is called a spike to make sure that the iQueryable interface that I have on top of my repository will indeed work. To set the stage here, what I want to do is discuss one of the issues that I'm facing, which is the classic impedance mismatch. And you probably have heard this term a couple of times, but the impedance mismatch is essentially highlighting the whole idea that your relational database is not an object-oriented programming model. What I need to use in my program should be absolutely abstracted away from the database because of the concept differences. A relational model does not have the same concerns as an object-oriented model. This is why OR mappers are very, very widely used today. However, using an OR mapper can sometimes lead to an overburdening amount of code and configuration files and mapping that many people have found distasteful. I'm going to sidestep the whole OR mapping discussion and which tool is the best for this case. And what I do know is that the simplest solution will probably work for most people. And since most people using ASP.NET 3.5 will be using Link to SQL, that's going to be my choice. So the spike that I'm going to write right now is going to be seeing if I can write a correct mapping between my Link to SQL objects and the model that I've created. The first thing I want to do is I want to add a whole new project here. Right now you can see I have our typical four projects. First thing I want to do is I want to add a new test suite called Integration Test. Okay, what I've done is I've added a new solution folder called Test Projects, and in there I have my two test applications, Integration Tests and the Regular Tests. First thing I want to do is take a look at some of the issues that I'm facing using Link to SQL as my first choice. This isn't my last choice, it's just my first choice. Link to SQL works using a thing called SQL Metal. What that does is it scans the information in your SQL Server database, and then it scripts out a bunch of code for you, and it creates objects, one object per table. It will also script out stored procedures and views, but for right now I'm just going to focus on tables. Well, this presents an interesting issue for me because I already have a set of objects that I want to use, and they abstract my idea quite nicely into a model. The issue for me is I also want to be able to have more than one repository, not just one from SQL Server. I might have one from Amazon, for instance, or one from Oracle, or perhaps MySQL, perhaps all three. The thing about this right here, though, is the tables that I have in my database, I don't necessarily want in my model. To underscore that, let's take a look at the AdventureWorks database. As you can see here, this is the main AdventureWorks database that ships out with most samples. This is one e-commerce site that has been what I like to call hyper-normalized. Now, if I was going to use Link to SQL with this database, it might get quite weighty, and I might end up doing something that ends me up in a little bit of a mess. I don't want to do that. So what I want to do right now is unhinge this process right here. This is my test database that I put together for this spike. And if you notice here, everything looks pretty much the same as the model that I created, with only slight differences, specifically with the product description. Notice I don't have the notion of a product description column in the products table. What I do have, however, is a product descriptions one-to-many table here, so I can have multiple cultures and languages represented for describing the product. Also notice I have a cultures table. This is a bit redundant with the .NET platform. I don't need this as represented in my model. So I'm presented with a bit of an issue that I want to deal with, and this is going to work nicely to help me sort of plan out my spike. As you can see, I've added in the four main tables of my test database into my Link to SQL context here. In addition, what I've also done is I've added some data into the categories table, which I'll be using later on. I'll show you that in just a second, but for now, know that I have six records in there. The next thing I did is in my Link to SQL data context properties here, I changed the namespace around so that I can kind of make sure I know what I'm dealing with when I'm dealing with Link. I might change this later on. In addition, I've made sure that the class is internal. I don't want to expose this to the rest of the project. finally, what I did is I created an integration test here, and it's just a really basic test. If I come in here to my integration test, it's a very basic test, and what it's basically checking here is that I can pull data out of the repository. Now keep in mind, I wrote this test first, and this is not supposed to be a strict TDD test. This is just supposed to be so I can watch along as the process fires. Again, this is a spike. This is just to make sure that my assumptions are correct. So in here I'm just basically making sure that iQueryable comes out and it's not null. I'm then going to check with this that the query fires when I iterate on it, and it doesn't fire when it's up here. I'll show you how I'm going to do that in a second. Finally, I'm just running some basic assertions based on the test data that's in the database. All right, well, this next part is the interesting part, which is how I'm going to map this correctly. And you might think this is a little difficult, but it's really not. I've created a class called SQL Catalog Repository. It's just basically an iCatalog repository that's pulling from Link to SQL. In here, what I've done is I've implemented only one method. You can see the rest are stubbed out with not implemented. And what I'm doing is I'm returning the context from the data context. I'm returning a typed result set, and this is where the mapping comes in. Now, a lot of people aren't familiar with this pattern. I know a couple people that I've showed this to didn't even know you could do this. Basically, what you do normally is you say select new, and you return what's typically seen as a var. And the var is anonymously typed to this result set. But what you can also do is you can return a new object. In this case, I'm returning a commerce.mvc.data category, as opposed to the category that is defined in my Link to SQL classes. I'm mapping the information right here in this class. This will be important as we move along. If you have any questions on this, please do leave a comment on the blog. Okay, and getting ready to run my test here, the first thing I want to do is I want to kick up SQL Profiler. If you've never used SQL Server Profiler, it's a tool that comes bundled in with the standard and developer and above versions of SQL Server. It's a very handy tool if you can get your hands on it. What specifically I'm going to run right now is I'm going to run a trace. And what a trace does is it basically stares at the activity in your database. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run this test in the debugger, and I'm going to see when this query fires. So let's go ahead and start up our debugger. And I go on my test view. Here's our test. I'm going to run and debug. Okay, so it's going to invoke our repository, and if I come down here to the repository, or excuse me, to the profiler, nothing has happened, which is a good thing. I'm going to ask for iQueryable of category, and we're going to come down here again. Nothing is happening, and that's good. That's our database. And then I'm going to assert that it's not null, and it's not null. So this is what I'm really interested in. I really want to make sure that my filtration is going to work and that this iterator is going to fire the query properly. Again, I'm returning a commerce.mvc.data.category. I am not returning the category as defined by Link to SQL. So this is where I'm doing my mapping. So when I execute this, if I come back to my profiler, we can see that a query has been run, and that query is indeed the one we're looking at. So I've verified right there that the query is not executing until I call toList. Finally, I want to make sure it's the right data that's coming out, and indeed it is. So our query passes, and our spike has been successful. So what this means moving forward is that I can integrate Link to SQL using some hand-coded mapping, which is just fine with me right now. In the future, I might move to a different platform, but for right now, Link to SQL works, and I've proved my assumptions. If you have any questions, please do leave them on the blog or send me an email at robcon@microsoft.com. This is the end of part 4. Thanks for watching.